You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Good morning. Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network for Friday, June 26th. It's the end of another week. And, of course, that means that we are closer to the beginning of baseball season. And, hey, the hot stove starting to heat up again. How about that? We'll have some big news for you regarding the Milwaukee Brewers. We'll talk about that today. And there could be some more moves on the way. The Milwaukee Brewers looking to contend this season after they made a playoff push last year. That will headline our Major League Baseball roundup. Of course, we'll tell you also about the Miami Marlins, who continue to tear things down, much to the chagrin of their limited base of season ticket holders, limited yet vocal. They went on the offensive against Derek Jeter in a recent town hall, and they probably can't be too happy with some of the news that we're going to tell you about this morning. The National Football League, we'll get to that as well. Yesterday we had some fun with Jarvis Landry, and if you listened to yesterday's show, you can hear about six teams that I thought the impending free agent could end up on and that would make sense. But according to published reports that we'll tell you about this morning, maybe Landry isn't on the move. We'll give you the latest drama surrounding Dez Bryant, work out the details there. In the NBA, it was not a busy night, only four games. But we'll tell you about some returns from injuries, some big nights as well. And we will also give you the update in golf. Tiger Woods played his first PGA Tour event in a year as he recovered from a fourth back surgery. The NHL will have some updates for you there as well. And we'll have you look at the latest going on in the fantasy industry. There's a new game that FanDuel has out. Is it even fantasy sports? You want to hear a comprehensive discussion on that? Listen to the Fantasy News Desk with myself and Tony Cincotta from yesterday on demand when you get a chance. And you can always listen to this show on demand. Of course, we prefer that you wake up from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern with us every single day. But, hey, if you want to sleep in or if you have a different schedule that gets you up just a little later and you want to start your day just a little bit later and still get everything that happened and everything to come, you listen to us on demand here on Fantasy Sports Today, iTunes, Google Play, and Audio Boom as well. So you can get the latest in fantasy sports, and we're more than just a news program. We give you analysis. The best thing about Fantasy Sports Today is you won't miss anything that's going on in the fantasy world. But you'll get analysis from me as well about everything that is important, everything that's relevant. So that's why you want to bring it here, 6 o'clock a.m. Eastern every morning. Sure, you could go watch SportsCenter, but you're not going to get any fantasy analysis. I love the MLB Network. Great sabermetric analysis. But you're certainly not going to get a fantasy update at 6 a.m. Eastern every morning. We're going to be here throughout the regular season for you. When those baseball games, the scores wrap up, you come here first in the morning. This is the only fantasy news program in the industry with analysis. Fantasy Sports Today. We'll begin with Major League Baseball next, right here on Fantasy Sports Today.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyrotor.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel, here with you every morning from 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern, and also on the Fantasy News Desk this afternoon from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern with Tony Cincotta. And then you can also join me tomorrow morning as well on the Roto Experts Weekend Edition, 9 to 12 a.m. Eastern Time with myself, Corey Parson, and Mike Blewett. So we've been talking a lot recently in baseball about how the hot stove has been kind of quiet since the winter meetings, and there's a lot of significant names out there, and a lot of everything really kicked off this offseason unofficially when Giancarlo Stanton was traded to the Yankees. That pretty much began the tearing down of the current state of the Miami Marlins, which seemed to upset the limited fan base there in Miami. Derek Jeter and company seem to be tearing down the team and remaking it in their own image. I certainly have some opinions about that, but I want to give you the facts first, because that's what we do on the Fantasy Sports Today. We give you the facts first, but of course we also give the insights and some columnist-type opinions here and there. But it was clear the market was moving very slow, et cetera, both JT Realmuto and Christian Yelich asked him to be traded out of town. And yesterday, Yelich got his wish. As the Milwaukee Brewers, looking to be a stronger contender last year, nice playoff push last year, looking to be a strong contender this year, made two moves yesterday that shows this team certainly wants to contend in 2018. The Brewers getting Christian Yelich from the Marlins for top prospect outfielder Lewis Brinson, infielder San Diaz, outfielder Monte Harrison, and right-handed pitcher Jordan Yamamoto. Yelich moving to more of a hitter's park, obviously in Milwaukee. This team certainly will let him loose on the base paths. Last year, Yelich hit .282 with 18 home runs, 81 RBIs, 16 stolen bases. And you could easily see him at 300, and it wouldn't surprise you. Wouldn't surprise me, that's for sure. I've heard former Marlins front office guy Dan Jennings honestly refer to him as a future batting champ. Have we seen the best of Yelich yet in his career? Maybe not. Still a young guy. I wouldn't be surprised to see 290, 20 homers, and 25 steals this year. Maybe that's his ceiling. But Yelich, who went in the recent FSTA draft with the third pick in the fourth round, this is a guy that gives you a nice floor. And there's certainly a little bit of upside in terms of the batting average, maybe a little bit more in the power and a little bit more in the speed. Who did the Brewers get back? They got Lewis Brinson back. Lewis Brinson is the prize of this trade. Last year in AAA, in 299 at-bats, he had .331 with 13 homers, 48 RBIs, and 11 stolen bases. Brinson was the guy that the Marlins really wanted if they were going to make this deal with the Brewers. According to some fantasy experts and analysts, he has 2020 type of potential. If he can blossom this year, I certainly agree with that. Brinson's also an excellent fielder, but we fantasy players were interested in the offense. The other guys really don't make much of a difference. At some point, though, maybe way down the line, maybe Monty Harrison can make an impact. But the Brewers weren't done there. According to The Athletic, around 7:30 last night, they reported that the Brewers and Lorenzo Cain had come to terms on a deal. Cain was being rumored to go to a few places. San Francisco was near the top of the list. But Cain elected ultimately to return to the team that he began his career with in 2010, one major league season before going to Kansas City from 2011 to 2017. Last year, he had 300 with 15 home runs, 26 stolen bases. He went with the 11th pick of the 7th round in the FSTA draft. Cain can certainly steal 30 bases here. You know what you get. And if you play in an on-base percentage league, Cain is a terrific outfielder to have. Maybe he's like your third guy. Ideal. Especially in an OBP league. And again, moving to a hitter's park as well in Milwaukee. And, you know, this is a guy that he's just got to stay healthy and the numbers will come. Now you ask, with Milwaukee, what does this mean for the rest of the outfield? Well, the Brewers are not finished, according to Bob Nightingale of USA Today. You'd probably say to yourself, default, and when I saw this, I said, oh, Ryan Braun's probably going to get moved. You know, we heard about these kind of rumors all last season. He's in his 30s. Maybe his best years are behind him at this point. You could speculate that because of his age. Domingo Santana's 25 years old and coming off a breakout season. So the outfield will probably be Yelich, Cain, and Santana. No, according to USA Today. The Brewers are actually looking to trade two of their top young outfielders, both Domingo Santana and Brett Phillips, as they have their eye on a top starting pitcher. Now, of course, Yu Darvish is still out there. Jake Arrieta is still out there. The Brewers, could they get greedy and maybe sign one of those guys and trade for another? We'll have to wait and see, but they're willing to trade both Domingo Santana and Brett Phillips for a starting pitcher, according to Bob Nightingale. Domingo Santana probably could bring a nice return here. He's just 25 years old and coming off a breakout year in which he had 278 with 30 home runs and 85 RBIs. Phillips last year, as the Brewers tried to make their playoff push, played the final month with the Brewers, 87 at-bats in the major leagues, 276, 9 home runs, 12 RBIs, 5 stolen bases at AAA last year, in 383 at-bats, 305 with 19 home runs, 78 RBIs, and 9 steals. So this is a kid who's just 23 years old and can hit for batting average. He can give you some pop and a little bit of speed. This is a guy that could ultimately maybe hit about 280 with somewhere around 25 homers and 15 steals. So here are two guys that are on the market for the Brewers as they are really trying to make a push here. So fantasy players have to keep note of this. Yelich, like we said, 4th round pick. I don't expect his value to, maybe he'll move into the back of the 3rd round a little bit, but I can't see his value getting bumped up too much. I think there's a little bit more of a ceiling in Milwaukee. With Lorenzo Cain, I think people expect about the same skill set. 7th round pick is right about where he's at. Domingo Santana, a lot of upside perceived there. It'd be very interesting to see where he goes because he was certainly in a hitter's park last year. So what about JT Realmuto next? According to FanReg, the Nationals are trying to get JT Realmuto from Miami. But Miami is asking for number one prospect Victor Robles. And the Nationals reportedly have been reluctant to budge on this kid. Now, Real Muto's unique and top fantasy catcher and regarded as one of the better catchers in the major leagues overall. Gives you a neat, nice dimension of speed. He's young, etc. But Victor Robles is the number one prospect in the national system. Now, the power and the speed certainly are there for Victor Robles. But according to some fantasy analysts, including Patrick DeVitt of Baseball HQ, who saw him in the Arizona Fall League, he wrote in the Fantasy Baseball Guide 2018 that he saw this kid in the AFL and his maturity was very much in question. But still, Real Muto is going to be on the way out soon. Will Robles get moved? You got to stay tuned here to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. More baseball next.
Have you ever wanted to have a fantasy expert in the palm of your hand? Or better yet, in the pocket of your khakis? Well, check it out. Now you can. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Download it now to your phone. We promise no weird viruses, no strange tracking things, just 24 hours a day, 7 days a week of pure fantasy knowledge dropping all over your head. It's the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. Stop being a weirdo and streaming it online. Get it on your phone. Take it with you everywhere you go.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. The hot stove is cooking again. It would seem that it was very quiet for a little while. We just gave you our Milwaukee Brewers breakdown. As far as the Marlins go, a lot of people are tearing them up. But you know, my quick thoughts on that is they didn't win with these guys that they had. And in Miami and South Florida, I've seen it firsthand. People don't come out unless you win. So the Marlins are going to tear everything down. They can make a profit, acquire some good young guys, build this team from scratch in their own vision. And they may have a better long-term plan than people think as they just react in the moment here. This team didn't make the playoffs, with a lot of these guys that they had. Why spend a lot of money on guys like that, especially Stanton, when the team is just not winning ball games? Tear it all down, get your own guys. Actually kind of makes sense to me, although some may seem warped to you, especially if you live in South Florida. Okay, also, according to the Rockies' official website, Charlie Blackmon would be open to moving out of the leadoff spot if the team wants to attempt it, but he has not talked to the ball club about it. Blackmon in 331 with 37 home runs and 140 RBIs. 14 stolen bases last year. If he moved down in the order, obviously more RBI opportunities on that offensive ball club. Don't think the stolen base numbers would fluctuate too much. Maybe he'd lose about 4 or 5 there, but I'm just speculating that. But if it's broke, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Unless they make another acquisition, you can pretty much expect from Blackmon what you got last year. According to Detroit News, Alex Wilson is going to be given an opportunity to fight for a job in the Tigers' starting rotation. This seems to be uninspiring in relief last year, 450 ERA, 136 whip. Jordan Zimmermann, bothered by neck problems all last year, was 8-13 with a 608 ERA and a 155 whip. He's going to get a shot before spring training in order to help with the nerve problems. He's probably going to miss the first week or two of spring training. Zimmermann used to be very relevant fantasy-wise when he was a National and somewhat in his first year with the Tigers, but in recent seasons, he's no longer getting fantasy consideration. Hisashi Iwakuma tries to continue to make his way back from shoulder problems. He has been approved to begin throwing, according to the Seattle Times. Last year, he appeared in just 6 games, 0-2 with a 4.35 ERA. Before these injuries, Iwakuma was a very serviceable fantasy pitcher, but we don't know when we're going to see him this year. Could be May, could be June. And also, according to Tampa Bay Times, Christian Arroyo as he recovers from a hand procedure. Hit off a tee this week at Tropicana Field. This guy was the prize for the Rays in the Edwin LaGoria trade. Top prospect in the Giants system, excellent fielder, good pure hitter. Last year in the majors, hit 304 with 3 home runs and 14 RBIs. Will probably give you a good average and some RBI production. Can't expect a lot of pop fantasy-wise. Probably a good corner infield guy that won't hurt you later in your fantasy draft. So that's all for Major League Baseball for today. That was fun as we finally got to lead the show off with MLB, and we'll be doing a lot more of that going forward. As it gets closer to pitchers and catchers reporting, all of our shows are on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network now tilting towards doing some baseball here. Of course, we have shows dedicated to all sports here. You can listen to Fantasy Gold for your fantasy football fix. The Weekend Fantasy Update for NBA with Frank Stanfill, Mike Florio, Joe Galina. You can listen to Inside Edge Fantasy Hockey on demand. You can also listen to our Fantasy Golf Show with Tony Cincotta, Colin Drew, and the crew. Fantasy NASCAR will be coming up soon with myself and Sean Engel. And we even have eSports with Zareen T. All of these shows available at fntsy.com/radio if you want to see the full list. And, of course, you can get the app and always listen to us on demand. Google Play, iTunes, and, of course, Audio Boom. So let's talk about Jarvis Landry. Move on to the National Football League. According to ESPN, Jarvis Landry says he's making progress as he tries to come to terms with the Dolphins rather than become a free agent. Now, yesterday we read a report from the Miami Herald that it seemed that was all but a foregone conclusion that he would be gone, but these things can change in a day. Sometimes his agent posturing and story placements. And Landry, last year, 112 catches, 987 yards, a career-high 9 touchdowns. He has caught over 110 balls in 2 of the last 3 years, but last year he did reach the 1,000-yard mark for the first time since his rookie year, although he came just short. One of the most underrated receivers in all of fantasy football, one of the best fantasy wide receiver twos that you can have in a PPR league. You could actually make an argument that he's number one in a PPR. He's the number one in the PPR. You could probably construct a good argument in that direction. I probably could. Landry was my number two on a championship fantasy team this past year. He's a great luxury to have next to a guy like Antonio Brown, for instance. So the Dolphins, it would be the smart thing to do to retain Landry as they want to make another playoff push and they want to have Ryan Tannehill as his guy coming back. The only thing that would worry me a little bit is coming back to Miami. He caught 9 touchdown passes this past year with Jay Cutler. He's never caught more than 4 with Ryan Tannehill. According to ESPN, the overall feel is that Rob Gronkowski is going to be ready to play in Super Bowl 52 against the Philadelphia Eagles. He has not been able to practice yet as he has been dealing with some concussion issues after taking that big hit in the AFC Championship game. But Gronkowski seems that he should be able to play in the Super Bowl, though never know for sure. Everybody heals differently. According to the Sporting News, Rams general manager Les Snead has confirmed that the team wants to re-sign Sammy Watkins. Some fantasy players may groan about that after the way that Watkins performed this past year. He actually stayed healthy for most of the season and played 15 games. If I told you that before last season, you'd say, wow, Watkins must have had a good year. But we fast forward to reality, only 39 catches in 15 games, 593 yards. He did have 8 touchdowns, 6 of them coming in the second half of the year. In the first half of the season, he had a one touchdown game, and then really didn't do anything. Two touchdown game, and then really didn't get in the end zone anymore. But from week 9 on, he did score 6 touchdowns. But he had 100-yard game early in the season and only 2 games with more than 3 receiving yards. Basically, what he became was a big play and a TD threat that you just couldn't depend on, even as a fantasy wide receiver 3 with the Rams. But look, the Rams want to continue to challenge off defenses in a major way. When you have Todd Gurley as one receiving weapon out of the backfield, and then they can roll out also Cooper Kupp and Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins. That puts a tremendous amount of pressure on defense and is great for a young quarterback like Jared Goff. And Tyler Higbee could be one of 2 tight ends that even take another step forward next year. This team has a lot of weapons on offense. Makes it easier for Jared Goff. Makes it more difficult for opponents. From an NFL perspective, it makes every bit of sense to keep Sammy Watkins. Fantasy players would love to see him go somewhere else, stay healthy, and be a bigger part of an offense, but it may not happen. This is not the first report that we've heard in this vein. So the Dez Bryant drama continues in Dallas. According to Cowboys executive vice president, speaking to the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Dez Bryant needs to understand that his sideline antics are affecting his teammates. In a candid interview with the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, Stephen Jones saying, "We understand that Dez is a very emotional guy. Jerry Jones loves him like a son, but he needs to rein himself in." These criticisms coming out because, as the Fort Worth Star-Telegram noted, he's now 3 seasons into a 5-year, $70 million contract and has not reached a 1,000-yard mark in each season of the contract so far, didn't have a 100-yard game last year, and his $16.5 million cap hit next season is 3rd in the NFL behind only Antonio Brown and Larry Fitzgerald, who we don't know is going to return. He certainly hasn't been worth that money. Bryant had his worst season last year since in terms of playing close to our full schedule. He's no longer looking like a top NFL wide receiver. You wonder if the injuries have caught up to him. It looks like the Cowboys want to keep him from everything they're saying publicly. Jerry Jones said that the other day. And the Cowboys would certainly be able to use him next year. When you talk about the money, well, what I'm trying to say is the Cowboys certainly, money aside, have every reason to keep the guy because they need receiving help, but they need more help around Dez. You know, maybe they get that in the form of a Marquise Lee. From a fundamental perspective of who they have on the field, it makes sense to keep Dez. But the money, he's not going to take a pay cut. It's just too much to pay for a guy who doesn't produce on the level of Antonio Brown and Larry Fitzgerald. He's not living up to his contract. He's been a bust in both real life and in fantasy. So Dez Bryant, he's on the hot seat. I don't know what's going to happen contract-wise, but, you know, he's in a very, very pivotal year. I can't see him being drafted as anything more than a mid-range wide receiver 2 next year, though. According to ESPN, Jay Gruden says he wants Kirk Cousins to be more aggressive. Cousins is maybe going to hit free agency. And last year, 4,093 passing yards was down from 4,917 last year. So maybe there is something to that. And a lot of analysts seem to think that Cousins will remain in Washington, but nobody knows for sure. We'll talk about some coaching changes next in bring you the latest on the NBA.
Playing daily fantasy basketball this year? Consider Daily Roto your go-to resource. Whether you play on DraftKings or FanDuel, Daily Roto's customizable projections, podcasts, strategy guides, and lineup optimizer will help you compete with the pros in a fraction of the time. With a team featuring millionaire maker winners and live final champions, there's no better place to get your NBA DFS content. Better yet, you can save 10% using the promo code FNTSY. So go to dailyroto.com/premium and learn more about our awesome product.
Back here on Fantasy Sports Today, I'm Scott Engel. Here 6 to 7 a.m. Eastern every morning, bring you the latest in fantasy football and fantasy baseball now, it appears, too. Fantasy basketball, fantasy golf, fantasy NASCAR, and even some esports and some hockey. And make sure you listen to us on demand if you don't catch the show live here right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. You can hear us on iTunes, Google Play, etc. So let's move on to the rest of football news. The Cardinals hired ex-Broncos offensive coordinator Mike McCoy as their offensive coordinator. He was fired in November. Denver ultimately ended up ranking 17th in offense. Didn't do too good as a head coach either, but this guy was very good with Denver from 2009 to 2011, so I guess there's still a reputation there. According to the NFL Network, the Vikings are going to interview Texans quarterback coach Sean Ryan for their offensive coordinator job. Last year, the Texans finished 21st in passing, but Ryan is well noted for the job that he did as a wide receiver coach with the Giants from 2004 to 2015, widely credited for the rapid development of Odell Beckham Jr. And the Giants, with him on the staff, had top 10 offenses in both seasons. Also, this just seems to be a sort of a maintenance exercise. Patriots offensive coordinator Josh McDaniels will have a second interview for the Colts head coaching job today. So that's it for the NFL. Let's move on to the NBA here. As it wasn't a busy night, only four games, but a lot to report, you know, in terms of injuries and good performances. Let's start with the injuries. Jimmy Butler was not able to play against Golden State last night. He tried to warm up, but wasn't able to make it through. So Butler remains out, as the Timberwolves having to depend on other guys to step forward. The Knicks lost to the Nuggets last night, but Kristaps Porzingis was back after his latest injury. 21 points, 7 rebounds, a block, 27 minutes. Get Porzingis back into your lineup as soon as you can. Tim Hardaway got a day of rest. Ron Baker started, but we'll tell you about another interesting performance from the Knicks a little while. De'Aaron Fox returned from an abdominal injury and helped the Kings upset the Heat 89-88. He had 14 points in 30 minutes. And when we look ahead to tonight's games, Eric Bledsoe is probable to play against the Nets tonight, according to NBA.com and RotoWorld. And TJ Warren, according to RotoWorld, is questionable with a knee injury for tonight's games. So let's take a look at some of the box scores here. And we start with the Wizards and the Thunder. And that was the most exciting game of the night, as the Thunder beat the Wizards 121-112. Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal starring in this game. Russell Westbrook, a season-high 46 points, 6 rebounds, 6 assists, and in 37 minutes. And Bradley Beal tried to outdo him as much as he could. 41 points, 7 assists, and a career-high 12 rebounds. Beal is playing so well recently. As for Westbrook and the Thunder, they are the hottest team in the NBA right now, having won 6 in a row. There's been ups and downs for them, but they're backing it up. Carmelo Anthony, 13 points, 8 rebounds. Struggled for the second straight game from the field, missing 7 of 11 shots. Paul George, 18 points. Steven Adams, 12 points, 10 rebounds. And Grant with 10 points off the bench. For the Wizards last night, Markieff Morris with 20 points and 9 rebounds. Otto Porter Jr. back in action, 11 points, 6 rebounds. John Wall with 21 points and 12 assists, and really nothing off the bench for the Wizards at all. Let's move on to Sacramento and Miami, the upset of the night. The Kings won on the road for just the eighth time in 27 games. The Heat, one of the hottest teams in the league, dropping a one-point decision. Zach Randolph was in the lineup last night. 10 points, 10 rebounds. Quiet night for Willie Cauley-Stein and a back-to-back 9 points. Bogdan Bogdanovic, 11 points last night. Nothing from Scala Bissier last night. 18 minutes, and he was held scoreless. I think he'll rebound from that. Garrett Temple, who scored 34 points in the Kings' last game, proving that was an outlier with just 5 points. For the Heat, 23 points for Goran Dragic, but only 8 points for Hassan Whiteside, although he did have 14 rebounds. Johnson with just 4 points. Richardson with just 6 points. Justice Winslow with just 11. Kelly Olynyk, 10 points, 4 rebounds. A very uncharacteristic flat performance from the Heat against an inferior opponent. That was kind of a surprise to me last night. The Knicks losing to the Nuggets. The Knicks have now lost 19 of 25 games away from home. They're on a long road trip. They'll come back next Tuesday to Madison Square Garden. Maybe they can pick up a win there. Falling 130 to 118. 20 points for Enes Kanter, along with 7 rebounds. Jarrett Jack, 6 points. He did have 8 assists. Courtney Lee, you just can't trust him. He's inconsistent. 7 points, 5 rebounds. He drives you crazy if you have him in a seasonal league. 1 point, one night, 20 points. The next night, under 10. John Starks Jr. here. Michael Beasley contributing, even though Porzingis was back, 21 points. And then Trey Burke, who was recently signed by the Knicks, 18 points and 11, a career-high 11 assists. Not sure where this came from, as he played 29 minutes off the bench. But this will be a guy to keep your eye on. Ron Baker actually did start as Tim Hardaway Jr. got another night of rest. But if Hardaway Jr. misses any more time, this is somebody to maybe just keep on your watch list for now. Nikolai Jokic with another good game last night, 18 points, 10 rebounds. After Mike Mason said before the game that he was relying too much on three-pointers, he only took three-point attempts, but still gave you the numbers. Plumlee with 14 points, 6 rebounds, 18 points, 5 rebounds, 5 assists for Jamal Murray. 23 for Gary Harris, who continues to roll. Barton had 10. Lyles had 21. Wilson Chandler with 16 off the bench. One more game to tell you about from last night. It was the featured game of the night between Minnesota and Golden State, and Golden State prevailing in this one. 126 to 113, Golden State pulled out to a 9-point lead at the end of the first quarter, had a dozen-point lead at halftime, and pretty much never looked back. Last night, Draymond Green, only 9 points but 8 rebounds. Kevin Durant, 28 points, 10 rebounds, and 11 assists for his second triple-double of the season. Steph Curry, 25 points, 5 rebounds, 9 assists. Andre Iguodala had 10 off the bench for Golden State. For the Timberwolves, no Jimmy Butler last night. Certainly didn't help their chances. Andrew Wiggins with 10 points. A great night for Karl Anthony Towns, of course. 31 points, 11 rebounds. Jeff Teague with 17 points and 7 assists. And 21 points off the bench for Jamal Crawford. So that was it tonight in the National Hockey League. In the NBA, I'm sorry, they don't use sticks in basketball. And only 4-game slate, hopefully at Russell Westbrook if you play daily. And we'll tell you what's upcoming for Friday here in the NBA. Of course, a busier night here as we look ahead First tip-off at 7 p.m. Eastern at the Spectrum Center in Charlotte. The Hawks take on the Hornets. The line is Charlotte minus 6.5. The over-under is 210. The Pacers take on the Grizzlies at 7:30 at the Cavaliers. I'm sorry. Big difference between those two franchises. Well, maybe not lately. The Cavaliers are playing like the Grizzlies. Pacers and Cavs at 7:30. The line is Cleveland minus 5.5. The over-under is 222. At 7:30 p.m. Eastern, the Jazz and the Raptors. Toronto minus 7.5. The over-under 207.5. The Lakers will take on the Bulls at 8 p.m. Eastern. Lakers getting some guys back from injury. Don't know if we'll see Lonzo Ball or Chris Dunn in this game tonight. Chicago minus 3.5. The over-under is 220. Zach LaVine with a very good game the other night as he continues to come along. The Clippers will take on the Grizzlies at 8 p.m. Eastern at the FedEx Forum. Hopefully we'll see Tyreek Evans back in action tonight. DeAndre Jordan returned in the last game for the Clippers. 8 p.m. Eastern, the Nets and the Bucks. The line is Milwaukee minus 6.5. The over-under is 213. We'll see if Giannis Antetokounmpo is able to return from his knee injury tonight. 8 p.m. Eastern, it's the Rockets and the Pelicans. Houston minus 3.5. The over-under is 228.5. This game is on ESPN, featured game of the night. 8:30 p.m. Eastern, the Trailblazers take on the Mavericks at the American Airlines Center. 8:30 p.m. Eastern, the 76ers and the Spurs. Line is San Antonio minus 3.5. The over-under is 204. LaMarcus Aldridge will definitely be back in the lineup tonight after getting the last game off. And at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern, it's the Knicks and the Suns. Only a game that Knicks and Suns fans could really watch. Tim Hardaway Jr. might be back in the lineup tonight. But also keep an eye. Well, if he's not for some reason, you can see what Trey Burke does. Maybe he could end up being in a daily play again. I'd take a crack at it. All right, in the NHL, we'll get to that in just a little while, but in some fantasy industry news, we'll also get to that, too. We got a lot more coming up here. We'll try to cram it all in here on the last segment of Fantasy Sports Today. We got golf, NHL, fantasy industry news, and some esports scores for you from the Overwatch League. Two upsets last night. That's coming up next here on Fantasy Sports Today on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
Did you know that you can listen to this show live on the award-winning Fantasy Sports Radio Network? Listen on the iHeartRadio app, the TuneIn Radio app, or download the Fantasy Sports Radio Network app. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network is the only totally free 24/7, 365 Fantasy Sports Network of its kind without a subscription. Check out YouTube Live on the Fantasy Sports Network YouTube page and participate in the programming there, where you can ask questions, discuss the topics with other fantasy enthusiasts, or tell everyone that you disagree. Call into your favorite show and ask your question. The number is 844-84-FNTSY. That's 844-843-6879. The Fantasy Sports Radio Network, your free fantasy source 24 hours a day.
Golf here on Fantasy Sports Today, this first PGA Tour event of the year. Because of a fourth back surgery, Tiger Woods shot an even par 72 in the opening round of the Farmers Insurance Open, but he was seven shots behind the day one leader, Tony Finau, who led with a 65 on the North Course at Torrey Pines. Woods will play on that course today as he's on the bubble to make the cut. He's tied for 84th. Finau wound up with nine birdies, the last one from 35 feet to take the lead. He had a one-shot lead over Ryan Palmer and Ted Potter Jr., who each had a 66 on the south. In fantasy sports industry news, check out more of this on LegalSportsReport.com or listen to the Fantasy News Desk from yesterday on demand. FanDuel has unveiled Big Game Bingo for the Super Bowl, a free game, which is based very much on the traditional bingo. You try to complete five squares, diagonal, up, down, across on a digital card. And also, they have announced they will have Big Game Bowl for Super Bowl Sunday. That requires a buy-in of $9, and you get a chance at a $2 million prize pool. Big Game Bingo is not really a fantasy game, but FanDuel has released it. Check out more on that at LegalSportsReport.com and listen to the Fantasy News Desk from Wednesday on demand. Tony Cincotta and I completely break it down. In the Overwatch League last night, it was a night of upsets as the Boston Uprising beat the London Spitfire 3-2. And as ESPN notes, Boston became the first Western team to take a match off a South Korean roster off of a South Korean roster in the Overwatch League and the first team to do so in the regular season. Another upset is the Philadelphia Fusion handed to New York Excelsior their first loss 3-2. And in the easiest match of the day, the Houston Outlaws easily taking care of the Florida Mayhem 4-0. Florida regarded as one of the worst teams in the Overwatch League. In the National Hockey League, John Gibson's left Thursday's game against Winnipeg with a lower body injury. Jason Demers suffered an upper body injury in Thursday's game against the Columbus Blue Jackets. And here's what else happened in the National Hockey League last night. Jacob DeBrus scored with 8:41 left to lift the Brewers over the Senators. The Bruins have now won 5 in a row. Danton Heinen and Tim Schroller also scored to help the Bruins get a point in their 18th straight game, their second longest point streak ever. Tuukka Rask, who we mentioned so often on this show, stopped 21 shots. The Hurricanes 6 and the Canadiens 5 as Tuuvo Teravainen scored twice and added an assist. Jordan Staal, Jeff Skinner, Derek Ryan, and Justin Williams also scored for the Hurricanes, who had lost their last two. Cam Ward made 26 saves, and defenseman Noah Hanifin had 3 assists. The Blackhawks 5 and the Red Wings 1. Alex DeBrincat had his second hat trick of his impressive rookie year. And Chicago chased Detroit goalie Jimmy Howard in the first period. DeBrincat, Anthony Duclair, and Vinny Hinostraza scored in the first 8:47 before Howard was pulled. The Lightning 5 and the Flyers 1. Brayden Point, Vanni Gorde, and Ryan Callahan each scored in the second period to lead Tampa Bay over Philadelphia. The Lightning head into the All-Star break with the best record in the NHL. Off to their best start in franchise history, they lead the NHL with 34 wins and 71 points. The Predators shutting out the Devils 3-0 as P.K. Subban scored in his third straight game and Pekka Rinne made 23 saves for his fourth shutout. Penguins 6, Penguins 6, Wild 3, Evgeny Malkin scored 2 power plays goals, and Sidney Crosby had 3 assists to reach another career milestone. And he now has second on the all-time scoring list with 1,082 points. Capitals 4, Panthers 2, Alex Ovechkin with his 30th goal, and Blues 3, Avalanche 1, as Braden Schenn scored in his fourth straight game. The Roto Experts are next, right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.